I want you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 10, if you will. Luke chapter 10. And if you were messing around during the special music, now that I'm standing up here, it would not be recommendable that you mess around now. So make sure, young people, you're paying attention to what's happening. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I want you to find verse number 38. Luke chapter 10. Look at verse number 38, Luke 10:38. Stand with me, if you will, please. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. The Bible says this, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." In that verse, we find the title of tonight's sermon. I call it Choose That Good Part. Choose That Good Part. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Bless what is said, and bless what is heard. May we listen not only with our ears, but with our minds. And Father, may you be glorified in what is said and done in this place tonight. Now, God, we didn't come to be entertained. We came to be changed. So I pray that tonight, as a result of the Word of God, we'd be better Christians. I pray that we would leave this property tonight in better shape than when we came on it. Now limit the interruptions and help us, Lord, in these few minutes that we have together to be led by thy Spirit so that you can accomplish an eternal purpose. Bless us now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Many people have heard this story, and I'll repeat it again. Jesus had gone to Martha's house. Martha had a sister named Mary. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet to hear his word, and Martha was very, very busy serving throughout the house. It wasn't that Martha was doing anything wrong. She was just quite busy doing many, many things. But Mary had sat down at the feet of Jesus to listen to Jesus and to learn the word of God and to be around him. Well, Martha, who is busy about other details, complained to Jesus and said, you know, Mary, Lord, left me here to serve all by myself. And that Mary is sitting in there with you, spending time with you, and I'm out here in the kitchen doing all sorts of things and taking care of things. And she complained to Jesus about it. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, meaning full of care, and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Jesus actually gives Mary a compliment. And that compliment was because Mary had made the right choice. She had made the right choice. Now, wait a minute. Had Martha chosen something bad or wicked? Oh, no. No, she just didn't choose the best thing. And at that moment, the best thing was not to be busy. The best thing was to be listening to Jesus Christ and be sitting at his feet. Now, folks, let me explain. Your life, and I said this in the announcements earlier, Wednesday night, I'm teaching on relationships. And I told you, your life is built basically as a series of relationships. And that's going to make you or break you in life, and including your relationship with God, with Jesus as Savior, etc., etc. All the relationships put together, that's what makes up your life. But your life is made up of relationships, and your life is made up of decisions. Decisions. Your success in life will be determined on your relationships, and your success in life will be determined on your relationships. And here, Jesus gives Mary a great compliment about her decision-making. Listen, learn to choose that good part. What Jesus was saying to Martha about Mary is, Mary made a good decision. Mary made a good decision. Folks, your small decisions in life ought to be good decisions. Your medium range decisions in life ought to be good decisions. Your big decisions in life ought to be good decisions. You know, sometimes we take a big decision and we'll slow down and say, "Ah, this is a big one." Well, you know what? Really, life is made up of a whole bunch of little decisions that all add into a great big life. And if you're not careful, you may slow down and make good big decisions, but make bad little decisions. And it's the little foxes that can destroy the vine, the Bible says. If you're not careful, you may have made a good big decision, but you make 10 dumb little decisions, and you make a big mess out of your life. So might I say to all of us, when it comes to our decision making, let's slow down and make the big decisions good decisions. Let's make the medium range decisions. Let's make them good decisions. And even the smaller decisions in life, let's make them good decisions. You know, I basically spend my life in the pulpit and out of the pulpit, in my office and in my counseling, basically trying to get people to make good decisions. To make good decisions. We stand up and preach. We're trying to tell you, choose the right thing. Make the right choice. Now, every once in a while, we'll say, you didn't make the right choice. But it is our preference as pastors and men of God to say to you, let me show you how to make the right choice so you don't hurt yourself, so you don't hurt the cause of Christ, so you don't hurt your family. But I spend my life trying to help people make good decisions. The basic guideline to making good decisions is quite simple. You ask yourself, what would the Bible have me to do? Or what would Jesus do? And if we'll do that, we can make good decisions. But the way that Jesus put it to Mary or to Martha about Mary, he said, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen, there's the decision, that good part. That good part. Now, folks, I call the sermon, Choose That Good Part. For instance, it's your choice what you do. And listen, most of the time, we create problems in our lives as a result of our choices in life. I'm going to show you, I looked up the word choose in the Bible. And I thought if Jesus said, she hath chosen that good part, that means Jesus was interested in how choices were made. And right choices bring right results, and wrong choices bring bad results. I just want to see some of these choices. For instance, may I recommend to everybody under the sound of my voice that you choose life. And I mean, let's choose everlasting life. Let's choose eternal life. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Listen, those words were spoken from the Lord to the children of Israel, and he said, choose life. Choose life. He's not just talking about you and I choosing to be alive with our heart beating and our blood pumping. It's not the opposite of closing your eyes in death. He's talking about you ought to choose life. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I recommend to you, you make the biggest choice you'll ever make in your life, and that's choose Jesus as your Savior. Oh, that choice that could change your entire life. It could change, it'll change your now. Hey, it'll even change your past. You say, you could help me get my past changed? Absolutely. You could be forgiven of your past. You could be covered for now. You could be secure in the future by one choice. Choose life. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, choose life. Christian, those of you that are born again, if you chose Jesus as your Savior, may I say, like Jesus said in that passage of Scripture, may I say, you have chosen that good part. That good part. Salvation is that good part. Choosing Jesus, That's that good part. You made an excellent choice. But not only does the Bible say, choose life. Choose life. Choose to live. Choose to live eternally. Choose the abundant life. But we ought to choose to serve God. Choose to serve God. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 says this, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in which land ye did dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua said to a group of people, choose to serve God. That's the good part. So you choose Jesus as your Savior. That'll get you heading toward heaven. Then you ought to choose to serve the Jesus that saved you. I'm so glad Joshua put it the way he did. He said, you can choose to serve him. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Listen, folks, serving God's a choice. It's a choice. There are people in this room, you choose to serve God. There are others you have chosen not to. You do realize when there are opportunities made available to serve God and you don't do it, you've chosen not to do it. And we all do have a choice. Everybody here has a choice. We have a choice. You can either serve God or not. And listen, we stand in the same condition that they did in this day when Joshua stood up and said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You either, and you can blame everybody that you want to blame, but if you want to serve God, you can serve God. You can choose to serve God. It is a choice. Well, that means this. You're not going to serve God right. You're not choosing to serve God if you're serving sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 talks about you and I not being the servants to sin. See, when you let sin run in your life, when you choose the wrong things over God, over church, over the Bible, over what you're supposed to do, you're serving sin. We're not to serve sin. We're to serve Jesus Christ. Hey, did you know we're not supposed to be self-serving? This is, you know, your life's not really all about you. We live in a very humanistic society. It's all about me, me, mine, my. They say, well, if you don't take care of yourself, who's going to take care of you? God will. We're to be serving God. We're to be serving God and serving others. You're not to serve sin. You're not to serve yourself. You're not to serve the devil. If you are serving God, though, tonight, let me say to you, you have chosen that good part. Teenagers, look up here. You have an opportunity on Saturdays. Our young people go out and work bus routes, and our young people go out and go soul winning. Every teenager in here has a choice. You can choose to serve God on Saturday and go out and tell people about Jesus, or choose to stay home. But you do have a choice. You have a choice. And it's been a long time since I've met any parents that told their kids, no, you can't go bus calling. No, you can't go soul winning. I would say that 99.9% of our parents would jump right on the bandwagon if a teenager said, I want to serve God. But you choose it. You choose it. I know people that will choose to figure out ways to keep themselves busy in life so they don't have to show up at the church and do things. You've made your choice. You chose. You knew what you were getting yourself into. You knew you were supposed to be in church. You knew that you were supposed to be serving God. You knew that you were, hey, you knew that you ought to be involved in a bus route. You knew you ought to be in a Sunday school class and helping. You knew you ought to be going out soul winning, but you didn't do it. You made the wrong choice. And to everybody here, let me recommend that you make right choices. Choose life. That's salvation. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. There was a choice made about serving God. Hey, if you chose to serve God this week, you chose the good part. You chose the good part. But not only that, I seen here that there was a choice made, and there are choices made about setting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. In Luke 10:42, that's where we started. It said, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, what was that choice? That choice was about the Word of God in church. That was a choice about the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. You know what? She had chosen to hear the Word of God. She chose that. Now, look, I'm not scorning you because all of you, you're in church tonight, and that's where you're supposed to be. Sunday night church is taught in the Bible. It's not something man dreamed up. God dreamed it up. They had Sunday night church in the Bible. You're here tonight, and you are in obedience to the Bible, which means this. I compliment you. You chose the good part. You chose the good part. But you know, listen to this. Every Sunday night, you make a choice. Now, if being where you're supposed to be to hear the Word of God, you made a good choice, when you don't make that choice, I guess it's a bad choice. Which means on Sunday night, when you show up at church, you made the good choice. And on Sunday night, when you don't show up at church, you made a bad choice. You made a bad choice. She chose the good part. What was the good part? Sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, hearing the Word of God. Hey, every day, you make a choice about reading your Bible. Every day. You either choose to have a daily dose of the bread of God, you either choose to read your Bible every day, or you choose not to read your Bible every day. You ought to make the good choice. You ought to make that choice. As he put it, he said, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Salvation is that good part. Serving Christ is that good part. Hey, his word and showing up in church is that good part. Reading your Bible daily, that's a choice, and that's that good part. But hey, in Sunday school, you know, there are people that show up and they sit out there but don't listen to a thing that's said. You made a choice. You made a choice. People can come to church and stare right at you and not listen to a thing you're saying. You say, how do you know that? Because of the way you live. It has to be so. Either you're not listening to a thing that's being said, or you're a total rebel. There's some of you, you grew up and you know better than to live the way you're living. Now, either you weren't listening, or you're rebellious against the truth. But to choose to hear the Word of God, that's a good choice. That's a good choice. Hey, do you take seriously the Sunday school class that's taught? Boys and girls, when you're in primary church, and you're listening to Brother Steed, or you're listening to Brother Reeb Summer preach, you need to set up and pay attention. You've got a choice to make while you're sitting back there hearing those men preach. You're either going to choose the good part and listen, or you're going to choose the bad part and not listen. Those of you that go to junior church, and Brother Young or Brother Jack Edwards are preaching back there, when they're preaching, you're going to make a decision. You're either going to choose the good part, or you're going to choose the bad part and not listen to what's said. Hey, you kids, those of you that go to the Fly Club, and Aisha is teaching the little children. Children, you're either going to listen to her and do the good part, or you're going to make a bad decision and not listen. You'll listen and do the good part in King's Kids, or you don't listen, and you'll mess up your life, and you'll reject the bad part. Hey, on Sunday mornings, when I preach, you'll either listen and choose the good part, or you won't listen. Even though I watch, and it's very hard for you to sneak and play with your cell phone while I'm preaching, because your pastor will point it out if you're doing that. Yeah, I do that. And if you're a guest, I really do. I do that. Why? Because the good part is concentrating on what's being preached, not playing while the preacher is preaching. But hey, parents, listen, I feel sorry for you. There are times you try to teach your kids and they don't choose the good part. They don't choose to listen to mom and dad when mom and dad are teaching them the Bible and teaching them to live right. But listen, Jesus said, she hath chosen the good part. She chose to hear the Word of God. She chose to get close to Jesus. Somebody chose to get born again. Somebody chose to serve God. Your life, your decisions will make you or break you. Your decisions will help you to move forward in your success or cause you to go backward and have a lack of success. And we need to choose the good part. Not only that, the Bible uses the word choose again in Proverbs 22:1. We ought to choose to have a good name. Proverbs 22:1 says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Folks, you ought to want to have a good name. Your family name, you ought to want it to be a good name. It used to be that a man's name was as good as gold. You know, some of you won't understand this exactly, but it's worth throwing out there so you can ponder it. Today, if you go to get a loan, they want collateral, they want your signature, they want your wife's signature, they want your dad's signature, they want your mom's signature, they want your kitty cat's signature. They want to count how many gold teeth you have in your mouth and how much do they weigh in case they need to come repossess you because you don't make your payment. Used to be, a man could walk into a bank, tell them how much money he wanted. They'd shake hands, hand him the money. They knew that man had promised he'd pay it back, and that man's word was as good as gold. That's because he had a good name. That's back when men got jobs and worked. That was back when they did what they had to get the job done, and they weren't whiny, and they weren't looking for excuses as to why they can't, but they were looking for reasons why they could and would. But that's a good name. Now, no, folks, honesty will give you a good name. And the Bible says a good name is to be chosen. It's a choice. Now, you say, preacher, growing up, my family, we didn't have a good name. But see, once you get out of the house, you can develop a name for yourself. You can develop a name for yourself. You say, oh, our family name, it was bad in our town. You know what you ought to do? Turn that around. Turn that around. You say how? Through honesty. Honesty will help you to have a good name. But wait a minute, honesty is a choice. You are to choose to have a good name. Honesty will give you a good name. Purity will give you a good name. You know, someone that's loose and immoral, they don't have a good name. Oh, they're spoken of, but not positively. And if you think they're spoken of positively, not with the right crowd, they're not. Hard work gives you a good name. Let me tell you how it ought to be. For every adult man, every adult woman, everybody in here that works a job, it ought to be that where you work, if they were hiring, they would hire your child when they hear their name. They ought to say, oh, you're Mr. Smith's son? Whew. If you work like Mr. Smith works, you got the job. You're Mrs. Smith's son? Wow. We'll hire you. If the Smiths all work like you work, wow, we'll give you the job. Your name ought to be valuable. You ought to realize the importance of your name. You do realize we're called Christians. The word Christian means Christ-like. We carry the name of Jesus Christ. You may not care about your family name, but you better care about God's family's name. And we're to have a good name. And it's a choice. It's a choice. Choose honesty. Get a good name. Choose purity. Get a good name. Choose hard work. Get a good name. Did you know being prompt has something to do with your name? Lateness is bad character. You're to be on time. You ought to be on time to church. You ought to be on time to work. You ought to be on time when you pay your bills. You ought to be on time to Sunday school. There's a meeting that's conducted around the church. You ought to be on time. Some of you are routinely late for everything. You know, and you're 3 minutes late every time. Could I recommend you leave 4 minutes earlier from home? Four. That's all God needed for you to be on time. You say, I'm so busy. It's not busyness. It's a lack of character. I know people that are 10 times busier than you and that can be on time. It's a choice. It's a choice. And promptness has something to do with your name. Kindness has something to do with your name. A good name is accomplished by routinely practicing godly character. And if you say, that's what I want. I want to have a good name. I want to be on time. I want to tell the truth. I want to be pure. I want to be a hard worker. Then you have chosen the good part. Every time you choose right, God says, that's a good decision. That's exactly what he said. Hey, you say, but Pastor, I was late paying my bill, but what I spent the money on, I wasn't spending it on drugs. I wasn't spending it on liquor. I know. But that's not the issue. The issue is not what you spent it on. It's what it should have been spent on, and it should have been spent on paying your bill on time. Did you know that if you had a bill that was due and you couldn't pay it, but you went out to McDonald's and you ate out at McDonald's when you couldn't pay your mortgage payment, I'm not real sure that that's real honest. Okay, is that new to you? If you owed me $5 and you couldn't pay me, and I seen you at McDonald's right before you're supposed to pay me eating a Big Mac that now costs $5, I would think, I don't think they get this. They can't pay me on time, but they can put that in their belly, and they can go out and eat and squander money, but they can't pay me on time. Now listen, folks, a whole bunch of you could clear up your name if you just wouldn't eat out and pay your bills on time. So, well, what would I eat? Well, have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and eat like poor people do if that's what you need to do. And by the way, I like peanut butter and jelly. Matter of fact, I like just peanut butter. Matter of fact, Mrs. Owens likes just jelly. Some of you in the older generation know exactly what I'm talking about. If we had to eat rice to pay our bills on time, we ate rice. And if all the meat we could have was Spam, you say, is that meat? I'm not sure. They say it is. But if the only thing I could eat was hot dogs, and I'm not sure that's meat either, they're not hot and they're not dogs. I don't know why they name it that. You know there's some mystery going on right there. I'll tell you something. When you're eating high on the hog, but you can't pay your electric bill on time, and you tell them I can't pay, you could have paid. The problem is you made bad choices. You made a bad choice. And a good name is a choice. Whether or not you get around the Word of God, it's a choice. Every Sunday morning at Sunday school time, you make a choice. Every Sunday morning at church time, you make a choice. Every Sunday night at church time, you make a choice. Every Wednesday night at church time, you make a choice. Now, what some of you do, you make bad choices that congest your decision making, but I'm just going to tell you, you make the choice. You make the choice. And so, we're to choose right. Jesus said, she made a good choice. She's a good decision maker. Choose life. Choose to serve God. Choose to be around the Word of God and faithful to church. Choose a good name. Hey, I then found that the Bible says we ought to choose to fear the Lord. Choose to fear the Lord. Proverbs 1:29 says, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." You say, what is the fear of God? Now, I don't think that God is trying to scare the wits out of you, and he wants you cowering in the corner, nibbling your fingernails like on some cartoon, or like that. I don't think God expects that. But I will tell you this, God's big enough, and God's powerful enough, you better cower if he wants you to cower. We live in a generation where they better start cowering because our God is going to have his belly full of the way people are acting in America. And don't you be shocked if God doesn't slap America around a little bit, but he already has. And he's not afraid to slap you around a little bit. And that's not in hatred, that's in love. He'll chastise those that he loves. And I'm going to tell you, some of you that aren't doing right and you're not choosing right, what's going to happen is if you don't fear God about your choices, God can figure out a way to get you to fear him. And I'm not trying to say that as a threat. I'm saying, hey, I love you. Make the right choice and don't make God ever step into your life and have to spank you. But God does spank. God spanks. God chastens. The Bible is very, very clear on that. Respect God. Respect God's way. If you fear God, you'll respect the authorities that he places in your life. If you fear God, you'll make decisions that are for him, not against him. Listen to this. I am personally afraid not to tithe. I'm afraid not to. I fear it. You say, I don't. You're in trouble. You say, well, I haven't been tithing and I'm doing fine. You're a thief, you're a robber, and God will judge you. You say, who do you think you are? I'm nobody. I'm a worthless sinner. I'm just a representative that it's telling you what the book says. And you don't have to fear me, but you better fear God. If you are in disobedience to God about some of the clearest teachings and you don't fear, you are in trouble. If somebody has said to you point blank, this is what the Bible says and this is right, and they have scripture to back it, and you're not going to do what God clearly tells you to do, you are in rebellion to the scripture and you have not chosen the right thing. You have chosen wrong. Choose the fear of the Lord. If you've chosen to fear God, You've chosen that good part. You know, there are so many things that God makes very clear to you and I we're supposed to do. We ought to do them. Choose the good part. Let me give you one more that I found. I found the word choose again. And Jesus made such a big deal about Mary choosing the right thing. We ought to choose to suffer for Jesus over the pleasures of this world. In Hebrews 11:25 it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hey, when you choose Jesus, I just need to give you a little warning. When you choose to do the right thing, you will have an opponent or an enemy. Look, if you've chosen salvation, and you've chosen to serve God, and you've chosen to be faithful to church and sit at Jesus' feet, and you're choosing to have a good name for both God and your family, and you're choosing to fear the Lord, then you're choosing to possibly suffer some affliction from the devil, but you're better off choosing to have the devil be your opponent than to live in the pleasures of sin, even for a short season. And notice, the pleasure of sin is only for a season. You say, what's that teaching? You go do the wrong thing, you'll enjoy it for a little while. But don't worry, hard times are coming. You say, I steal the tithe, started stealing it in the last year, things are going smooth. That's going to stop. Say, I got this extra money, I'm buying myself stuff with it. Okay. Enjoy it, baby, while you got a chance. Because your moment's coming, and it's not going to be pleasant. God will get it. Some of you, he'll get it this week just to prove that this preacher's not wacky. He'll prove it to you. Something's going to fall apart, and you're going to say, huh, I wasn't expecting that. And there's going to be a little light bulb go off in your head, and it's going to say, you know what, I don't give the Lord like I'm supposed to give. I guess God's coming to get his stuff. Listen, choose to do the right thing, which will make the devil your opponent, but you're better off having the devil against you than rebelling against God and living in sin for that short season. Hey, suffering for Jesus is a far better choice than living it up in sin. And if you have chosen to suffer for Jesus, then you've chosen that good part. I don't want to scare you. I think most of you know this. Our church, we see a smoothness. We see the blessing of God. But have you noticed that every time our church goes up a level, there are more burdens for the people? There are more heartaches. You want a revival in your church? You obey God. You choose the right thing. But there will be opposition. We're better off being opposed by the devil than we are living for ourselves and in the world. You'll even be happier that way. I promise you'll be happier that way. But here it said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And really, this boils down to you're either going to choose the good part or you're going to choose the bad part. And just so you know, if you choose the good part, that will not make the devil happy with you. So he's going to throw some things out there to try to discourage you. But you just be ready for it, and you go ahead and choose the good part anyway. I started preaching when I was a 16-year-old boy. I turned 56 on my birthday just a handful of days ago. I've been preaching for 40 years. Every time God blesses, and we watch revival, and we watch ministries grow all these 40 years, the devil's always working on my brain. And he says, you really want to do this again, Owens? You step forward, I'm coming after you. You move forward, I'll hit you. You keep moving. Thank you, Eleni. You keep growing, I'll make it tough on you. And folks, we do believe it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Wasn't there a battle that started a long time ago? And the more that you do for God, the more you're going to have that opposition. And I'm not trying to scare you. We all know about it, but it really is real. I have watched as our revival, it gets more climactic and it grows. And as I watch it, I see more heartaches. I see more burdens. There are a few more hurdles to travel. And you say, well, I don't want all that. Then you can go find you some dead little church where nobody's serving Jesus, nobody's serving God, nobody's getting saved. You go find it, and you can all walk around and be oblivious to the fact that there's a God that wants to save our world, and be oblivious to the fact that you ought to be keeping people out of hell. Go find you a dead church, join it, and probably things could calm down a little bit for you. But if you want to be someplace where we're charging hell with a squirt gun and we're getting the bus kids in and we're trying to get them saved and we're trying to change lives and we're fighting the devil and we're still preaching against sin and we're still exalting the word of God as being pure and holy and we're not afraid to talk about, hey, all the things that they say, well, you need to be politically correct. And you've heard me say it before, fooey on that. Let's be biblically correct. But if we take a stand for God and move forward, the devil will be our opponent. But I still want to choose the good part. We may suffer affliction when we choose the good part, but we're better off choosing the good part, suffering the affliction, than having the pleasure of sin for a short season. Just a season. You'll enjoy it for a moment, and then it'll take you for everything you're worth. Hey, if I were going to lose everything, I'd rather lose it all to Jesus than to lose it to the devil. And you don't really lose when you give it to Jesus. You just send it to a safer place. That's all there is to it. I love the story. Mary and Martha, and one is busy, 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 not doing anything bad, just not doing the good. And one said to Jesus, "Look at her. Look at her leaving me to do all this." And Jesus said, "She chose the good part." Folks, just choose the good part. And then it says, which shall not be taken away from her. The good part is eternal. The bad part is temporal. The good part is going to last us forever. Look, you steal the tithe, you'll enjoy what you buy for a little while. You give the tithe, that'll never be taken from you. You didn't lose it. You transferred to a bank that does not need FDIC. And the economy there is strong no matter who is elected president. Choose the good part. And I compliment you. Most of you serve the Lord. You're here in church tonight. You've chosen the good part. So I tip my hat to you. But if you're not choosing the good part, you're choosing the bad part. You'll lose. And I don't want that for you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, my very first point was choose life. Choose life that you may live. Choose Jesus. If you died at this very moment, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? If you died tonight, do you know for a fact that you'd go to heaven? Is there anybody here under the sound of my voice that would say, "Pastor, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. I don't know that I'm saved." How many of you could raise your hand as a testimony and say, "If I died tonight, I know for a fact I would go to heaven. I'll not lie to myself. I'll not lie in church. I'll not lie to God. If I died today, I know I'd go to heaven." And you can raise your hand as a testimony to that. God bless you. Amen. You may put those hands down. Hey, how about your choices? You can make up all the excuses you want. Go ahead and justify it in your mind. Go ahead and justify why you're choosing the wrong thing. Go ahead and justify why you choose not to give to God, and justify why you choose not to be in church. Go ahead and justify it. But with God, He said, you're either going to choose the good part or you're not. Has God spoken to your heart about some of your choices? Let's choose the good part. Who here would say, "God has spoken to my heart about a choice in my life. There's a choice or two that I need to work on. I need to make the right choice. I want to choose the good part, and God has spoken to me about it tonight." Would you put your hand up so God can see it? God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. If you need this altar, don't you be shy about it. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar? Teenager, do you need the altar about some of your choices? Men, do you need the altar about some of your choices in life? Hey, are you choosing the good part? And I'm not saying that your choices are necessarily wicked or bad, but are you choosing the good thing, the one that Jesus would want you to choose? There are people, honestly, under the sound of my voice, that need to get right with God. You say, what exactly does that mean? You've been making bad choices. You need to get to God and say, God, I've made bad choices and I need to get that straightened out. Forgive me for the bad choices and I'm going to start turning things around in my life. She chose the good part. If you've been saved and you need to be baptized, you ought to let me know. We'll get you baptized. That'd be a good choice. If you have been saved and have been baptized after your salvation and you need to join the church, that's the good part. Good choice. Good choice. This morning, I preached a sermon about bad friends. Somebody in here needs to make a good choice about bad friends. The good choice. Make a good choice Wednesday night at 7. Make a good choice next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Make a good choice next Sunday at 11 a.m. Make a good choice next Sunday night at 7. Make a good choice about showing up at the bus meeting. Make a good choice about showing up at soul winning time. Make a good choice about being on time when you go to work tomorrow. Make a good choice about how to treat your wife and how to treat your husband. Make a good choice about your name. Make a good choice about reading your Bible tomorrow morning. Make a good choice about getting up and praying. Your life is a series of choices. And Jesus is watching those choices. He is busy saying, good choice, bad choice. Good choice, good choice, good choice, bad choice. He was watching her every move and he knew there were good choices and bad choices. Remain standing as the piano continues to play. I happen to believe there are good choices in churches and bad choices. You know, there are churches that won't give you the gospel. Boy, if they don't believe the gospel, bad choice of a church. They don't believe the Word of God is God's pure book, bad choice. If they teach doctrines that are contrary to the Bible, bad choice. Make good choice. And let me tell you something. If there is a choice, if there's a church in this area that is more right with the Bible, I want you to choose to go there. I'm for that. I don't mind that. I want you to make good choices. Good choices.